Okay, people, we are ready for the next talk. Please listen up, quiet down, and get ready for the next talk. Thank you.
Background of me, I'm basically doing compilers all of my life, don't go into details, but what is important right now is I'm working at Tokiwa Software in a team of three engineers where we together develop the Fusion language and its implementation. Quick overview of this talk, I will give a very short intro into the Fusion language, and the rest I will show you through examples in the code. I will go then into mostly different types and how they are realized on the OpenJDK. We will talk about tech union types, about product types that have value semantics, about type parameters, how to do multiple intelligence, and talk a bit about the class identifier. So I'll start.
We can't hear you in the mic. Yeah.
Can you? We're not getting anything. Is it all plugged in properly? Turned on.
Now it's on.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry for those online who missed that. Okay. I will start with a quick intro to the Fusion language. So Fusion is based on simplicity. It's all based on one single concept, which is a feature, which takes the role of Java classes, Java methods, functions in other languages. And Fusion is aiming at safety-critical systems, and we see more and more systems becoming safety-critical. And in that area, we see that tools can make the developer's life much easier. Short, the language Fusion is statically typed. It is polymorphic in different ways. It has union types, parametric types, and object-oriented style inheritance. And it is pure using effects to model side effects. The Fusion tool chain looks like this. We start actually with Fusion source files that go through a front end, compiled into Fusion modules that are then processed by a middle end and by a static analyzer into a Fusion application represented in the intermediate representation, and that is then the input for different back ends. And in this talk, I'm going to go into details of the JVM backend that then transfers this intermediate representation into bytecode in Java class files that are run on a JVM. And the first aspect I want to focus on is tagged union types. I'll explain immediately what that is. As an example, I take an oven. I implement an oven in Fusion, and an oven as an input has a setting that often can either be on, either be off, or it can be on with a temperature setting given in degrees centigrade or Fahrenheit. So there's three options in that union type. And off is just a unit type. It's just a value with no other state, while the temperature settings is either a setting that gives a centigrade temperature as an integer or a Fahrenheit temperature that's a float in this case. And within the oven, we can then use a union type value and match on it, so match on the setting, and do different things depending on whether it is off or it is a temperature giving an centigrade or Fahrenheit. Now, I have to make some space here. Now, when we compile this to Java, I give Java source, not to Java bytecode, to explain what we do that, we actually compile such an tagged union type into several fields. First, we have a tag field, that's why it's called tagged union types, that decides, do we actually have an off value? Oops, I have to make space again. Do we have a temperature, or and what kind of temperatures? And in case it is a centigrade temperature, we need another field to store that value, or for Fahrenheit. So we have basically several fields to store a tagged union type value. I'll drive this example a bit further now. This is the most generic case. We have the tag and the different kind of values. And during the talk, I will go more and more specific until I reach the point where the oven literally disappears into the void. So the next step towards that is, if we do a bit more an object-oriented approach, we can use a temperature that is actually a reference to an object that provides an inner feature to get the temperature as a Celsius value. So it's a union type of off or the temperature, and the matching and changes accordingly. Now, how this could be implemented is we would have a tag that now decides whether it is off or it contains a temperature. But this is not what somebody would do in Java typically. This is a typical case where a null pointer or null reference would be used. So this is also what our backend does. It just uses one pointer value in that case and uses the null value to represent the state off. So that's a so-called nullable implementation of the tagged union type. Going further, having a more complex example, now we extend the parameter to also have a clean mode and to maybe have some error state, which essentially means we have four different possibilities and we need the temperature and the error state. But of course, there's never the case that the temperature and the error state are both used simultaneously, so we can join them into a single object value because only one of them is used. Now the tag field decides on which of these four states we have, but actually we could use specific values for the object reference to represent the off and the clean states such that this all collapses into a single reference field for all four states. And this is also what our backend does in this case, so such a tagged union collapses into a single field. Getting even simpler, if you have a very simple oven that doesn't allow any temperature setting, it just has the modes on, off, clean, or error. That is basically a classic enumeration. Internally, this is just an integer. So we only have an integer type for that. If we have an even simpler oven that could just be on or off, there's only two states, so that falls down into a simple Boolean type and is compiled into a Boolean value by the Java backend. We can go further. If we have now an application, we have a static analyzer for our application, and if the application actually never uses an oven that is on, that value can actually be determined to be a void type value. A void in Fusion is not like in Java, it's much more like a never type, so the result of a call to exit or so, that really never occurs at runtime. So if you have that, we don't need any data to store because all ovens in that application are always off. Can even go further if you have an application that doesn't even produce any ovens that are off. So maybe an application that only uses a list of ovens and that list is almost empty, so both are never used. So we don't even need the oven anymore because this all can be thrown out. So that much to tagged union types. Next point is product types, and Fusion has value semantics while Java has reference semantics. Small example, I want to do a small graphics example here. I'll start with a very simple product type, a point, which is just a combination of two coordinates, x and y, two integers. And I pass these points to a draw function that should draw these. I won't go into details there, but I just show you a bit of the syntax, how Fusion uses effects, in this case a graphics effect, to document that this function actually has a side effect, requires an environment where graphics is available to actually draw this. Now we create a point, store it in a local variable p1, and pass that to the draw function. Now, the question is, how do we do this passing of the argument? How do we represent this point? We have value type semantic in Fusion. So what we do is actually we split this up into two fields, two parameters here for the draw function that are passed separately in a call. Similarly, when we create a new point, that point is split up into two local variables or two fields that are then assigned separately. And finally, when we make this call, we pass on a call these two values individually. That works nice, is performant. Problematic in the JVM backend is the case of returning a value product type with value semantics. So here we have a shear function added to our feature point that creates a new point that is returned as a result. So Java cannot return multiple values, so what can we do instead? I need more space for that. And I've looked into a number of possibilities how we can return such a product type in Java. The first, as a baseline in that analysis, I looked at how at inlining, if we would just inline the call, returning a value is just assigning between local variables. So we can use that, but of course that doesn't work in the general case because inlining will blow up, will not work for recursion and many restrictions. That's why I put such a flash behind that. That is not a solution for all our cases, but it gives a baseline for comparison. The typical way in Java to do that is that the call method would return a newly allocated temporary container object that just contains two integers. We could also do the other way around. We could have the caller pre-allocate an object and pass a reference to that object to receive the results. Fourth solution I looked into was we could use static fields. So when returning two integers, when returning a point, we just have two static fields, x and y, and we store the value in there, and the caller then retrieves them for that. I put a flash there as well, because that is not thread safe. It doesn't work when we have more than one thread. What would be thread safe would be using thread local variables to return this value. Or if we would put these two static fields into our own thread instance. So if our threads have a specific instance of thread, that could have fields that are used for returning values thread locally. So I've analyzed these different possibilities using the Java Micro Benchmark Harness, JMH. And actually, to my surprise, the allocation of a temporary object that is returned was even faster than the inlining version that I analyzed. But unfortunately, in JMH, I couldn't analyze the last case of using my own thread type and fields in the thread structure. So I added my own ad hoc benchmarking framework to do the same measurements with slightly different results, but basically the same, but I also cover the last case. And now I exclude those cases where I said that they are not generally applicable, so the inlining and the static fields, because we can't use that in our implementation. Next, using thread local fields, thread local variables is prohibitively expensive, so kicking that out as well. We are left with allocating temporary objects and relying on the JIT to optimize this, which the JIT does very well, but I don't know what heuristics are in there behind there and whether we can actually rely on that. So for now, we're using thread local variables to return structured data on a call. I'm looking very much forward to seeing Project Valhalla coming into life because Project Valhalla will introduce value types. It will use type descriptors for so-called Q types that provide value semantics for method arguments and method results, which is exactly what we need here. What I don't see from the current state of Valhalla is whether you actually have a guarantee that when you return a Q type, you actually don't have any allocations. So I would like to best have the guarantee to have value semantics and no allocation on a return. So next, type parameters. generics would be the counterpart in Java. Here's a small fusion example how type parameters can be used. This is a function that calculates the arithmetic mean of three values that could be of an arbitrary numeric type T. And it just sums up those three values and divides them by the value of 3, but it has to first create a value of 3 in that given numeric type. That could be something like a complex or a double or whatever is fed in there. And now we can call this with integers or with floating point values. Java's implementation of generics uses type erasure, so there's no type information at runtime. While Fusion uses so-called monomorphization. That means we have specialized versions of the code for every type that is in use. What that means is that our backend, in this case, creates for every actual type that is used for a generic function a specific implementation for that type that has all the types stripped to the actual type parameter. So that's quite straightforward. Yeah, inheritance. Fusion has multiple inheritance. Question is how to implement that. The ways we've looked at is actually putting some type identifier into our instances and then doing some kind of table lookup and invoke static to call this. We looked into how invoke dynamic could help us. Unfortunately, Fusion is so static, it doesn't help us much at all. And finally, invoke interface is actually the most useful solution for us because that supports multiple inheritance. So in effect, what our backend does is in most cases, our dynamic binding just binds to one possible target, so we can just use an invoke static. And only in few cases we actually see that there are possible dynamic targets, and then we compile them to an invoke interface, and we have specific interfaces actually defined for every single function that is called with dynamic binding. So we have a case where the classes that we generate could actually implement really, really many interfaces, and we'll have to see how that scales with bigger applications. So, coming towards the end, class file verifier. Not much to say that, but the class file verifier helped a lot comparing the development of the JVM backend to the C backend that we did that before, because we saw so many errors much, much earlier than we would see in the C world. So the status of Fusion at the moment is the language definition is getting more and more stable. Base library, there's still a lot of work in progress. We have a JVM and a C backend that are there, and we have basic static analysis tools available. And if you came to see the dogs, this is Felix and Shadow, who disturbed me working on that during the last year. This is where you find more information on that. Follow us on Twitter, give us stars on GitHub. Stay informed. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions?
Hi. So you mentioned monomorphization, and you had this example with this function that takes T, which is numeric. And then you generated, I think, 10 different versions for all the numeric types. But then if you have like three type parameters, which are all numeric, do you generate 1,000 different versions?
If there's three type parameters, there will be one version generated for each combination of these three type parameters that actually is used in the application.
So it's used in the application, so it's like kind of a closed world.
Yeah, so we have a static analyzer over the whole application.
Okay, so you don't have incremental or separate compilation?
It's static at compilation. So when we compile, we look at the whole application. We don't have any dynamic adding of more code. So we don't have the problem of having to be open to add more there. We know exactly what will be in there.
And do you have a Java FFI with the JVM backend?
Do we have anyone?
A Java foreign function interface? Can you call into Java?
At the moment, not. We are looking forward to using Panama there, as we've learned, because that would be a big step for us to also helping on the C interface. Even with the C backend, we don't have any FFI for calling C code at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have your mind made up on in terms of the approach to concurrency you want to take? I mean, on the JVM, virtual threads could be an option, but at the same time, if you have a C backend, that could be really expensive to implement on your own.
We do have a very simple concurrency support right now, but it's basically limited to starting threads, but there's no not much synchronization or anything going on. Our current idea is that when we do something concurrent, that we want to use the static analyzer as much as possible to statically prove that there's no race conditions and that the code is safe. The question is, what channels do we want to provide to actually allow inter-thread communication and all of that? And we are still looking into possibilities there. There are many things we could do. It's not decided yet. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe afterwards.